Right now, we're continuing the conversation about the homeless crisis with Ed King, co-founder of the California Policy Center on the homeless crisis. Ed, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Was that King or Ring?
King. Is that right?
It's Ring.
Ring.
Ring. It says King multiple places here. Okay, I beg your pardon.
Ring.
Ed Ring. CaliforniaPolicyCenter.org and also at California Policy Center where you can find out more. Let's start with the actual number of homeless in Los Angeles. Any idea what that upcoming count's going to tell us?
Well, I'm not sure what the upcoming count will tell us, but we know that the current estimates are about 55,000.
Right. Mm. That sounds about right. And you've also said that the problem could be solved in short order if there was political and judicial will. Tell me about that.
Well, that's true. And, you know, before getting into what solutions like that work, you know, if you don't care about homeless people, you're not serious. You don't belong in the conversation. So when we talk about quick solutions, we always hope that it doesn't come to that. But if we have some sort of massive outbreak of infectious disease, for example,
that's underway. That's coming.
Yeah.
That's this summer. You can count on it.
So if it comes to that, then we're going to have to do something swift. And something swift would probably be, for example, bringing in the National Guard, having them work with local law enforcement, and setting up tent cities, some kind of instant housing project in open areas, probably on the fringe of, you know, in some government-owned land in the outskirts of Los Angeles, for example, where they can just be quickly moved. You would probably have to screen the homeless so that, for example, mentally ill would be treated differently than drug and alcohol abusers.
Like triage them, right?
Why do we have to wait for an infectious disease crisis when people are dying to do this?
Well, we're at two extremes right now. That's one extreme. The other extreme is where we are, which is we're trying to build houses that cost apartments that are $450,000 apiece. And that's going on in the Bay Area up in San Francisco. It's going on in L.A. These projects are never going to get homeless people into protective housing. It'll only get a small fraction of them into supportive housing, and it'll cost billions and billions of dollars, and we will never catch up. So we have to find a happy medium. You know, and one way to do this is to just set a limit. For example, it shouldn't cost $280,000 to build an apartment using a shipping container, which is what's happening in Los Angeles right now. Shipping containers cost about $2,000.
Exactly.
And you can retrofit a shipping container. So set a limit. You know, why is it $50,000 per bed to build a shelter in Venice? And why are we building a shelter on priceless real estate that's a block or two
with ocean views?
Beach.
Yeah, exactly. That people spend millions of dollars for and work hard and have, you know, use their life savings to move down there for.
Yes. So pick a number. You know, $5,000 per bed seems like it could be enough. For $5,000, you can probably put everybody into some kind of shed or tent or shipping container.
You're right. Use the military. My husband's in the military. He just came back from deployment. I can't tell you how many times they've gone from the big canvas tents that have, you know, ventilation and everything that they've put up to shipping containers that are stacked on top of each other. That get the CBs in, get the engineers in. They can put that stuff up and down quickly and efficiently and cost effectively than waiting for these California bureaucrats that say, oh, we can do it for $427,000. Well, you've had the money since 2016. You haven't built one unit yet, and that's a bunch of crap.
You know, I think they've built a couple of dozen units, and they've had $1.2 billion, and as you say, they've had it for a few years now. That's
infuriating.
Absolutely never going to get us where we need to be. And it's hurting homeless people as much as it's hurting
the
residences and the communities where they're living.
Right. So that's all good. I could fully sign off on that, but we're sort of past the point of no return in terms of being able to systematically deal with this thing. We have two things that are bearing down on us. One is infectious diseases this summer. We now have typhoid fever, we have typhus, we're going to have plague, we have tuberculosis, we're going to have measles. I mean, this is coming. And once that really gets going, it's just on. And I'd say 3-4 months, we're going to be in it. So that's going to be the first thing. The second thing is you talk about pulling people into these $5,000 containers. I'm going to say 20%, 30% of homeless people don't want to leave the street. What are you going to do with that population?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, I was looking at some of the things that you had commented about the rights of the mentally ill, for example, and we're again at a risk of going from one extreme to the other. People with psychiatric illness should have rights, and we don't want to end up going back to 100 years ago.
That'll never happen.
Right.
That'll never happen.
So, you know, on the other hand, why are people preferring to stay in a sort of a free environment on the beach in Venice, for example? If it's because they like that option and they can go find a friend's house or they can go back to their family, if they have options and they're sane and this is a decision they're making, then they should probably be arrested for vagrancy and given a choice. You want to go home
wanting to live on the street is not sane. That's a psychiatric symptom. And so people that want to live on the street are either drug addicts that we want to leave alone to do their drugs or schizophrenics that can't tolerate being in a structured environment, one or the other.
Right.
And that's tens of thousands of the people that are out there. My question is, why, if that person had dementia and it affected their judgment and made them confused, you would be guilty of a crime if you didn't help that person. But because they have a different brain disease, schizophrenia, you can't touch them. You can't touch them. They cause the same symptoms, confusion, lack of insight, poor judgment, same symptoms, two different brain diseases. One, oh my God, you have to help that poor demented person. They're going to walk out in traffic.
Get them in
the
hospital.
The psychiatric person that walks out in traffic, you can't tell them what to do.
Well, you know, the question then becomes, would a hospital cost as much as it would cost to take care of it as we are right now? Because in Sacramento, for example, it costs, the latest county statistic I heard was $47,000 a year per homeless person when they're staying on the street and going in and out of shelters. So what sort of humane psychiatric facility could be maintained, and how much would that cost? And I don't know.
How much does it cost in a psychiatric ward to house one person?
Catherine Barger's working on that.
Historically,
a lot of these people only need to be housed and stabilized. They can be treated long term. The problem is, if they're not under conservatorship, you can't keep them in treatment. And if they're not deemed gravely disabled, if our definition of gravely disabled is so narrow that it makes it impossible to treat them, then we're not going to work.
And you tried to write a Senate Bill 640, and they turned it down.
And that, by the way, there were families up there begging the senators, please, if we could give them their medicine, they would come home. We would love them. We'll follow them.
We'll take care of them and house them.
You know what the senators told them? Get out of here. Scram. Yeah. Sorry.
No.
You know, you're bringing up the solutions of legislation and litigation. I mean, if one major city in California would go back to court and try to redefine what so-called permanent supportive housing is, a lot of this could get solved pretty fast. Because shipping containers aren't the only way to go. The tents we talked about, or sheds. You can get a nice 120 square foot shed at Home Depot for, I think, they're $2,500.
We have the LA Mission willing to do it for what,
$10,000 a bed.
And these guys know what they're doing.
They have the big pop up ones. They know what they're doing.
And we could bring in a team of psychiatric nurses and psychiatrists and have them go case to case. You don't have to have full time supervision necessarily. You just need people.
There've been other people that have talked about, you know, it's a military base out towards Lancaster. I think that is, you know, has not been used for a long time. Like you said, take them out, triage them. You know, separate the people that have chronic illnesses, people that are mentally ill, people that are, you know, people that have probably broken the laws and felons, and separate them, figure out what their illnesses are, figure out, you know, there are going to be people that will need to be in a mental facility for the rest of their lives. They're not going to be able to be put back on the street, but there are going to be people that can be rehabilitated, put back in the society. They're going to need that help. And we're doing nothing. We're just leaving them all out on the street.
One of the problems is the way that this problem is being attacked right now works very well for a lot of the organizations.
Yeah, they're making a lot of money.
Yeah, so there needs to be a change in the mentality of the policymakers. They need to recognize that it's not working. I mean, that's the first step, is just accepting that we're never going to get there. And, you know, too bad if this is a good deal for some of the organizations and developers that are involved.
You know what drives me crazy, Ed, and you're a financial analyst. This drives me crazier more than anything. We know that this has been a problem for a long time, and it's been critical mass for years now. And all I hear from our politicians, and even just Gavin Newsom again, just recently, you know what? We're going to put another $10 or $20 million into a task force, and we're going to research for the next year, and we're going to come up with some more data on why this is happening. Oh, my God, if you give me $10 million, and I'll tell you what the problem is right now. But no, we're going to you know, line the pockets of our cronies and that have these companies, and we're going to do some more research, and we're going to give you some, you know, probably 100 pages next year on why we have the homeless.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It drives me insane.
This is just corruption. It's
yes.
not compassion.
Yes.
It's corruption.
Thank you.
But it's more. It's reckless negligence and manslaughter. Because the infectious diseases that are going to... I've been talking to people at L.A. County, and it's coming. It's exploding right now. And so your idea of
policemen,
the tents and
sanitation
the National Guard,
workers are all getting sick.
I'm afraid it's coming. I don't see another way out if they don't change courses very quickly, and they don't seem to be. So I think you should be preparing for your National Guard maneuver.
I think your point about eliminating qualified immunity is a very interesting one, and again goes to the legislation and litigation pathways to solving this. You know, police, it's tough. Police have to react. There's a real... ambiguity about how far you want to go with taking away some of their immunity. But politicians who are just obviously refusing to see, I mean, you don't have to be a financial analyst to understand that the way that this problem is being addressed right now is never going to solve the problem.
Right. No. That's right.
I mean, they're throwing more and more money at it, billions and billions more, and the problem has only gotten worse, and the homeless numbers have only gone up.
Well,
there's obviously a problem.
I hate to make these predictions, but there's going to be plague. Typhus is going to explode. Tuberculosis may become the crisis. I'm going to make this prediction now. TB may become the crisis infection.
Because that's the easy one to get, right? Because it's just airborne. You walk by somebody, you get it.
Unless measles gets into the homeless, and then it's just on. And in that case, it's going to have to be, you know, and I don't know how many people are going to die. I don't know how many people are going to be exposed. I don't know how many, I just don't, and who is going to be held accountable for that?
Nobody.
I can tell you right now who's responsible, and they also could turn it around, but they seem uninterested, or they don't believe this is going to happen. And so either they want the people on the street to just die.
Yeah.
Which is I all
maybe
I can
they think
conclude.
Oh the problem will go away if they just die and we'll just turn
but
the other way.
But it's going to kill a lot of other people along the way.
Right.
Is the problem?
Yeah.
If that's really what they want, but that's manslaughter straight out. And you know, Ed, you and I do something reckless, we'll be held accountable. Why can't we hold them accountable?
Well, especially because it's so obvious that this is that we're headed in this direction. You know, statewide, it's 100 at least, because these are old numbers that are being updated now, but it's 130,000 people. You know, and there's so much land. You know, there's broader solutions we have to look. I mean, the immediate solution is litigation.
Yes.
Somebody's got to take this all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court.
I agreed.
California isn't going to. You know, not going
to
do it.
I said this to Drew before the show started. I said, our L.A. politicians have stopped at the Ninth Circuit Court because they don't want to take it any further. I said, why don't we take it to the Supreme Court? And then I said to him, and maybe you know this, Ed, can the people of Los Angeles, like, could I sue? Can it be like the people of Los Angeles versus, I don't know, would it be against the city of Los Angeles or whatever to try to change the laws of the vagrancy laws or the laws that they say that they can't change about people on the streets or moving their stuff? Can we sue as people?
I can partially answer that. I'm not an attorney and an expert on the legal aspects of it, but we know that the ACLU and other, some very prominent individual attorneys are being very aggressive in making sure that the way that Jones versus the city of Los Angeles is implemented, the one that says you can't take people off the sidewalks unless you give them permanent supportive housing, it's being interpreted in a very aggressive way because of individuals, not government agencies, but individual organizations, private nonprofits, individual attorneys are going to court to force these decisions.
Can we fight back on the other side? Can somebody else be aggressive and fight them?
Exactly. It seems like someone could.
Somebody needs to fight back and punch back and say no, because the rest of the people are being affected by that. Because if they're going to be the bully, somebody needs to step up and say, no, I'm sorry, we got to take our streets back. This is not acceptable.
We're gonna. If you want to organize some fashion, we're gonna have to target it somehow. I hope maybe the sanitation workers can bring suit, because they're gonna start getting sick.
Because I mean, this is coming into everyone's neighborhoods.
You know, there's AstroTurf organizations that go into every public meeting, and they're not residents.
No, of course
not.
They're loud.
Organized residents in Koreatown, in San Pedro, in Venice, in Sherman Oaks, and elsewhere.
Yeah, they were going down to San Clemente too.
All right, let's get a bigger group together. But Ed, thank you as always, and please let us know how we can help out.
Thank you.
You got Ed Ring from the California Policy Center on the homelessness crisis talking with us. You can find out more at californiapolicycenter.org.